Alex Yater is a father of four boys and husband to his wife, Callie. He has a long track record of successful business growth through partnering with Super Bowl champion Drew Brees to franchise and develop Everbowl restaurants across the nation. He also owns Impact Vacations with multiple properties throughout the Midwest. Alex's entrepreneurial spirit and passion to share Jesus throughout his journey empowers everyone around him to be better, both personally and in business. Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you came and you accepted our invitation.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot that we're going to get from this meeting here. So let's get started.
Awesome. I think the most important thing that you left out, though, was I did graduate top 20 in my class. There was only 25 kids in the class, but I was in the top 20. So I like to bring that up every
Let's make sure that makes it to the podcast, please. Well, tell us who Alex Yater is.
Okay. First off, I am a proud Christian man, and I carry Jesus with me everywhere I go. Second, I'm the husband of Kelly Yater, and I'm very proud of that. We've been married for 21 years, and Kelly and I have four boys, Mason, Owen, Quinn, and Augie, ages 20, 18, 16, and then 6. And Augie runs the house, and we have lots of chickens. We have a couple of goats and ducks. So we're kind of like homesteaders. And we're just in this really awesome season in life as parents, where you get to see our boys grow from being kids to adults, kind of, they are. And then, yeah, business. I love business as mission. I love, I love growing businesses. I love helping other people grow businesses. I'm a big proponent of, what Cody Sanchez says, which is don't start a business, buy a business. So I love connecting people with opportunities to buy businesses. And wow. I've been in franchising for 20 years, and franchising is an easy path, to the American dream of owning businesses. And, it's kind of a business in the box. And currently we're doing that with Everbowl, having a lot of fun. And we get our acai from Brazil.
Oh, my gosh. So. I love it. I know. That's the best. Yeah, oh, that's absolutely. So cool. I love that. So tell us a little bit about how you grew up. Did you come from a Christian family? What was your childhood like?
Yeah. And this is something that Kelly and I instill in our boys. Grew up in a small town in Ohio called Vanloo, Ohio, population 300. Small farm town, public school, and we literally every Sunday walked to church, to our small United Methodist church, and pretty much every weekend my parents were either the worship leaders or they were the ushers. When I say worship leaders, they were like the ones telling people what song to sing in the hymn.
Okay.
They weren't like a worship leader like my favorite worship pastor, Brennan. So we were part of this small church. My older brother and I were the acolytes and the ushers. And from there, really learned about serving your church, serving your local church and serving your local community. So grew up in small town, Ohio, literally right next door, walked to school every day, K through 12 in the same building, still great friends with most of those people. Did all sports because you kind of had to. Had an older brother and a younger brother, and my mom and dad are still extremely important pieces in my life. My mom is Athena, named after the Greek goddess of wisdom. My name Alex is, I was named after Alexander the Great, and my father Jim was in the military, and he actually ran away from home as a high school senior and ran into the military and got shipped off to Greece, and there he met my mom. They have an incredible love story wasn't even thinking we'd go there.
But
their story is amazing because they joke around. They say he didn't speak any Greek and she didn't speak any English, but they spoke the language of love. And my yaya did not like the fact that my mom was dating an American man, so she shipped her off to another country, shipped her off to Turkey, thinking that was going to keep my dad away. My dad re-enlisted for another year for a chance of just running into her again. And during that time, he went and spoke to my yaya, and she realized how great he was and just an awesome man. And then when my mom came back, they got together and got married and started their family. So
that's incredible. And
they're going back this month for their 50th anniversary. So
I love that. I love, well, when we met, he was asking, you know, about my accent, and I'm like, I'm surprised that you even picked that up. But he was saying that his mom is Greek, and there's so many similarities in the Greek and the Brazilian culture. But my husband, I was here for a year as an au pair when I met him. And so my English was still not great. Yeah. And I just remember, like, he would talk to me and I'm like, I have no idea what this man is saying.
Right.
But I was like, he's just so kind and he's just so loving. I don't know, but it just sounds so good. So I love that. That's very similar.
Do you get annoyed by some of the American words? My mom still gets annoyed by some of the words. Like, you know, just like, I don't know, the English language.
Like 13th. I don't know. I like, my kids are like, Mom, yeah, I don't know how to say well, entrepreneurial. Right. I have a hard time with, like, a lot of, and I've been here for 22 years.
Yeah,
too, so
it's all right. Your accent's amazing. So
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, that's pretty cool. So how did you meet Kelly?
Kel, I was actually working at Cooper Tire, factory job. I was a vacation replacement. So I was a summer replacement there, and I got to meet her dad there.
Okay.
And we did a lot of golfing together, and I worked in the maintenance department under him, and we would go out to lunch or we would go out to pick up parts, and he would open his billfold and he would have this, he had Kelly's senior picture and she had this red shirt on, and I was like, I just instantly fell in love, and I was like, when are you going to introduce me to your daughter? And it literally was like a year later at a cruise night, like a classic car show. She was there and I got to meet her, but at that time she was seeing somebody else. That's what I thought. So I was like not pursuing her or anything. And she jumped in the car and went for like a couple laps with us and stuff. And, her mom said, hey, by the way, did you know Kelly's single now? And a couple of days later, I was actually at their house after a golf outing, and her mom, this is before cell phones, you know. Kelly's mom called her at work and said, guess who's here? She was like, I'm in line. She's like in line at Meijer checking people out. And I get on the phone with her and I was like, hey, you know, what do you think? I think we should go out on a date sometime. And she's like, well, you better ask my dad. So I was like, Dave, can I take Kelly out? And he goes, no. He was just joking around.
Yeah.
So that's how we met. Went to a drive-in movie and watched one of the Austin Powers movies. But like a drive-in movie was our first date, and got married and started a family really early. And been married for 21 years. And she's my best friend. We have a lot of fun together.
I love that.
She laughs at all my jokes.
Yeah.
And she has the the second most unique laugh that you'll ever hear.
Okay.
Heather has the most unique laugh that you'll ever hear.
I know she does. I miss her laugh so much.
Yeah. Kelly's, I love making her laugh, love having fun with her, and love parenting with her. Early on in our walk with the Lord, Kelly was actually the one that really led the family spiritually.
Oh, wow.
And she was on her knees praying for me to really become passionate about Jesus. So that's one of the things that I'm most thankful for, is that, you know, she, in that season, she was the one that was like, we need to get to church every week. We need to actually read the Bible. We need to start tithing. And our life changed in a positive way by doing that stuff. So
that's incredible. Yeah. So you grew up, you know, going to church, your parents were super involved in church and everything, but then you kind of like, your heart wasn't like, you never really, it was kind of like checking the box
didn't really have a relationship with Jesus, didn't have an understanding of, you know, the Trinity, that the person of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit, you know, it was just your kind of your classic Bible teaching, hymn singing church.
Yeah. Same but, for me.
Yeah. Was there wasn't any of the, you know, this stuff's really cool that you're reading in the Bible. Like, are we allowed to do that today? You know what I mean? Like, and you know, there was definitely through the serving and the serving of the community and, you know, feeding the hungry and, you know, the stuff that Jesus tells us to do. But, you know, but really it wasn't that intimate relationship that I've really grown to love over the last 10, 15 years or so.
That's amazing. I love that. Were there any trials that you were walking through when you felt like you needed Jesus and
Honestly, lucky for Kelly and I, in our time married, we haven't had any like drastic punches. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't had the,
praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say like some of our most challenging seasons have been the last couple of years. Mm. With our boys entering into adulthood, they've gone through their first breakups. Right. And, and that's where like, I've been the most thankful for the Lord. Because of our relationship with the Lord, our boys got to see our dedication to the church, our dedication to our time with the Lord. Mm. So when our sons went through heartbreak, they went to the Lord. Oh. And they went to, you know, I remember sitting outside with my son and like just doing a check-in with him. And he was like, in Ephesians, it says this. And I was like, whoa. Lord, I know. My baby boy is like, you know, you just never really grasp that your kids are going to grow up to be adults.
Yeah.
And I'm just super thankful, you know, that they have been prepared for, you know, and it's a breakup. Like we've all been through breakups.
Yes.
You know, he'll look back at it and be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, at the time it was an absolute big deal and you know, it could be heart wrenching. So yeah.
But I love that he goes to the Bible. I feel like my kids in this season too, because we have led them, you know, later in life, but still, they see that and they also go, and it's really cool to see them looking and quoting Bible verses, because at that age I never walked away, but I was not reading the Bible at all. So I'm just like saying my thank you God at the end of the day and that's it. So it's very cool to see them. So let's talk a little bit about your businesses. Like you are definitely a businessman and, like how did that start, or like this fire for starting businesses or buying businesses?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I mean, it was literally until I graduated, I thought I was going to be a professional basketball player. So laugh all you want. But I was obsessed with basketball. And after I realized I wasn't going to play professional basketball, I started getting into coaching basketball, and I coached basketball, went to college. And it was like, excuse me, I was coaching basketball for like 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And when Kelly and I got married, I took a job with Altel, which was a small like regional cellular carrier. And I started to work for corporate Altel. And then I started to work for small independent agents and dealers. And it was in that where I met my business partner, Mitch. Mitch and I have been business partners. We're business partners in all of our ventures together.
Oh, wow.
And he's one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me. And we realized like, man, we're building this for other people. We should do it for ourselves. Mm. And I like to say I've spent my first 10 years in my career as an employee and the second 10 years as a business owner. And now this like the next phase for us, which is the most enjoyable, it's being a business owner in multiple things, but being more of a coach and a mentor to people and pouring into and trying to help people to grow businesses. So that was kind of the starting point. Mitch was in Chicago. I was in Ohio, and Mitch opened up a couple of Verizon stores. And then when he had his opportunity to open his third store, that's when he brought me out to be a partner. And we owned Verizon stores for 10 years, and we opened up 32 Verizon stores. We were, you know, we like to say we're both hillbillies from Ohio. We did not have a lot of money. And we did a lot of owner financing. So we would go to the owners and be like, hey, you want to sell your store? And, you know, yes. But then we were like, okay, we don't have any money. Can we finance this over the course of 4 years? And we were just hustlers and kind of worked our way up through doing that. So,
oh my gosh, I love that. It's bold. Did you feel like that was a calling from God at all? Or is it just something that it's just lit up your fire?
I did not at the time, but I definitely think like God has prepared me, because
the coaching.
Now it's like, I have this burning passion, and I do not, I want to be clear. Like, I don't think this is for everybody, but our boys, their path is, they're homeschooled. Mm-hmm. They start working at a young age. They take that money and they invest that money to grow it. Wow. They're going to live at home as long as they want to live at home until they're married. And they're going to walk away when they're, let's say, 22 years old with a lot of money in the bank versus a lot of debt, hopefully with the heart to go start a business, right? Because I look at the cost of everything right now, and I don't know how you can do it without being a top 3% earner at some big company, right?
Yeah.
Unless you own a business. And I think that owning a business is hard, but it becomes easier when you have a community to support you. So I try to build communities. I do not know finances and accounting, but I have a great friend, Tim, at Blended Wealth, who I refer everybody to for accounting and for financial wisdom. So I have those type of people in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm very public about talking about don't start a business, buy a business, or buy a franchise, right? I love franchising. I'm always looking at awesome franchises to open. Just maybe for my family and my partners, or for some other friend. I'm like, oh, like I'll run into somebody and be like, you should take a look at this franchise. You should take a look at this franchise. Wow. So I'm just very passionate about business ownership. And I know it's hard, but I think community makes it easier. So I think that's the calling that God has been preparing me for. And he's been blessing that. We've been doing some really incredible things and gatherings. I want to invite you to the gatherings. We'd love to have you speak. We call it Bulls in Business. Bulls in Business is a free event for entrepreneurs. We say it's for people that are looking to buy, sell, start, or grow their business. So it's like anybody that's in business, and it's a free thing. And our job, my great friend Mason, who I'm partners with in a coaching business, Heather knows Mason extremely well. Our job is to really protect the crowd of people that come there so the wolves don't come in and try to sell and do this and that. So it's been a really healthy, organic place where there's been multiple business, and we've only been doing this 4 months now. There's been multiple business transactions that have come out of there where people have come to the group or reached out to me saying, hey, I want to sell my business. And we were able to connect them with the buyer, or, hey, I'm looking to grow my business. And we've been able to connect them with the right people, whether it was marketing or how to get things in line operationally or how to get your finances in order. So just kind of trying to build a community to thrive. We live in Hamilton County and in Indiana in general. We live in a county that's one of the best counties in the country to live in. It's also one of the best counties to do a business in. And you have this generation, like they call it the silver tsunami, of people that are retiring as being business owners, and they don't know what to do with their business. Yeah. Their kids don't want it, right? Like, I don't want to buy this plumbing business from you, Dad. You know, but it's a great business, and maybe it hasn't been marketed right. Maybe it's not online.
Yeah.
But then I have buddies that it's like, hey, dude, you should buy this business.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you, like, get out of your job and go buy this business. So I'm extremely passionate about it and extremely on fire about it, and hope to one day be in a position where, and we've done a little bit of this, but we hope to be in the position that we can be the ones that find the deals, find the operators of the business, and then even come in as a partners and help fund the deals as well.
Wow.
Because then I get to kind of play and dabble in lots of different things.
Yes.
And local. I love local business. It gives us an excuse to all hang out and have fun together, right? It's like, what are you doing? Like, you need some acai, come see me.
I know.
You know, like, you need this, go see this person, you know, whatever it is.
I mean, there's so many takeaways from this, but like, community, it's imperative. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading, are you familiar with John Maxwell?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because he was at this leadership.
I know.
My gosh. I am. It's like the whole world opened up to me when I attended this leadership summit. And he talks about that, like the power of connections, how it's connecting, and how lifting others up, you will be lifted up, you know, by lifting others up.
Absolutely.
So put people first. You know, get over yourself. I mean, there's just so many teachings that I feel like you're speaking of.
Well, I'm a disciple of John Maxwell, even though I've never met the man.
Oh my gosh, I love.
I have consumed so much of his content, and when we used to own our Verizon stores, John Maxwell's teachings were the kind of our foundation.
Okay,
I actually got introduced to John Maxwell's teachings from a pastor at ITown, who was at ITown at the time, Pastor Eric Neal. He had a small group called Developing the Leader Within. So that was the first John Maxwell book that I ever wrote.
Okay.
And he says in it, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And that's just something that, but the thing that I love, and I would really encourage you and others, the great thing about John Maxwell is he has just an unlimited library of content, books,
online.
They're on audio. You have YouTube. So however you can consume, you can get John Maxwell literally for free.
I've been listening to his teachings on YouTube, like free videos on YouTube on my way to.
Absolutely.
Because it's so good.
Well, and it's the man was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
That was really
for the biggest church, right?
Yeah,
like in America.
His first vocation. I mean, he was a pastor, I believe, in a small church in Indiana. Right.
So
he's a Christian man. He is passionate about winning souls for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, like, when you read one of his books and then you go to another book, the language translates. Yes. Does that make sense?
Oh, right? Yeah, it's all intertwined. Cause, like,
you could go read other leadership books and get great stuff, but the nice thing is, if you stick in, like, the John Maxwell family of books, mm-hmm. you've got, you know, I like to call it compressing time, because it's like, you now are like stacking things on top of each other, right?
Does that make sense? I agree. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And repetitive too. Like, absolutely. You know, you read it once, you read twice. Like, it takes a little bit to kick in. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Yeah. Okay. So let's touch a little bit on the parenting, helping their kids start a business, or what are good opportunities or good practices for them to have.
Well, one thing that I would recommend, if your kid is in public school, there's a program, and a lot of the schools in Indianapolis and Hamilton County have teachers that do, it's called Innovate Within. Mm. And they help young entrepreneurs find a problem, and then by solving that problem, turning it into a business. So there's a local guy named Don Wetrick, who I'll connect you with and have him, like, he would be a great interview. Okay. That's locally, that's a great resource, right? So that'll help kind of spurn that along. The other thing I would say is, like, have them work at a young age, right?
Builds character.
and the other thing is, like, if your kid's working, teach them about finances, right? Like, get them on the old Dave Ramsey board game of, like, what to do with your money, right? Our kids... We got set up with a friend of ours, Betsy, who does financial advising, and all three of our boys invest their money through her organization, just in, like, a mutual fund, a diverse mutual fund that's, like, literally outperforming the stuff that I invest in, right? Like, they're just crushing it. But it's a nice, safe investment. So, like, 70% of what they make, they invest. Wow. The other 30% goes to Goodwill and Culver's. So, like, our boys are really good with their money, but, like, they don't need to buy their own stuff. Like, I can, like, and I know people can confuse that for privilege, but it's not. It's like the culture that you come from and the culture that I come from, right? Mm-hmm. Like, families, like, stayed family.
Oh,
right.
And absolutely.
And yayas lived with the family.
Yeah.
Right. And kids stayed in the house until they were married.
Absolutely.
Right? And I understand.
Which is so weird for Americans. Yeah. Like,
oh,
what?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're 18,
he's like 25 living with the parents.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Yeah.
So I understand that's like, what we do is countercultural. Mm-hmm. We've been homeschooling, so our boys have a lot more time. I mean, Owen, who bought a business here just a month ago, he's amazing. Been working since he was 15 and a half years old. Mm. And that money was the money that he had to do a down payment on a loan to buy this business, right? So get a job early, invest that money, right? Watch that money grow, understand the growth of money. Once again, I'm a big fan of YouTube University. So go show your kids the videos that show, like, if you invest, what happens to money over the course of 7 years? Like, it's literally going to double if you just put it in something basic. And showing them the power of that. If they start putting their money away at 16, by the time they hit 28.
Oh, I know.
And build the discipline to put $300 a month away, right? Because we all know it's hard when you become an adult, right?
So
and
hard.
All of a sudden you got kids and diapers and food and all that kind of stuff. Whereas if they develop that habit early on, right? So that's really the first step.
And the money
is,
grows so much more when you, the sooner you do it rather than like right now.
Well, and it's like paying yourself first, right?
Yeah.
So it starts with that. Get a job, invest your money. I would, community relationships, right? Internships. Like getting your kid connected with, you know, somebody that owns a business and say, hey, can he come shadow you for a week? Can she come shadow you for a week? Whatever that looks like, right? To find out what your kid's passionate about. And a good, safe first step. So for Owen was working at Everbowl. Mm-hmm. He worked at Everbowl for 2.5 years. And then this summer I got him an internship somewhere and he did great at the internship, but wasn't something he was passionate about. Mm-hmm. So we were talking on a Thursday, I mean, literally a month or so ago, and said, hey, bud, let's just go find another internship for you until you find something you're passionate about. And I said, and if we don't find you an internship, we'll find some side hustle business to buy just for you to make money and, like, learn about running a business. Because all your friends that own businesses, the business that your local friend that is crushing it in business that was not their first business. Mm-hmm. They had three. I mean, I can tell you so about many fails. I can tell you about all my companies that, like, Social Dudes. That was one of my companies that failed. It was like we were going to do we were doing social media marketing before like when social media first came out. Social Charge. I don't know why I had all these weird names with social Social Charge. We were doing charging stations at like concerts and stuff. But it's like we didn't know how to make money off of it. So I've failed at so many different businesses, right? But it's like
By doing it, right?
Yeah. So it's like if your kid goes and starts a lawn mowing company when he's 16 years old and he starts mowing yards. I have a new friend that they own a company called Speedy Scoop. And what Speedy Scoop is, they pick up your dog poop out of your yard, right? This thing is going to be a multi-million-dollar company in the next couple of years, and it might turn into a franchise. It was started by their 7-year-old son who was going around picking up poop in the neighbor's yards, and they started paying him. And they're like, whoa, what's going on here? And they kept growing it and growing it, right? So it's the stuff that we all did as kids. It's like you mowed lawns and you got paid. You raked leaves and you got paid. Right? Power washing trash bins, cleaning gutters, mowing yards, right? Like there's businesses out there that your kids can start really easy. And then I'm just a big fan of buying businesses. So there's always people that are looking to sell their business. There's a wide range of prices that you can pay. I have a friend right now that's buying a business that is being sold for like $1.5 million, right? And the way that the math works on that is you can go get an SBA loan. If the business is profitable, you can go get an SBA loan for 10% down, right? So now you're talking about $150,000. Mm-hmm. Well, you can also do what's called a seller holdback. So I could go to you as a seller and say, hey, hold back 5% of the down payment and you'll get it at the end. So now you only have to do $75,000 down to buy a business that's generating $300,000 or $400,000 a year in cash flow. Wow. Right? And the SBA is going to take about half of that because of the loan, but he's going to step into an opportunity and make more money than he's ever made in his career. And at the end of the loan, his family's going to be set for life as long as he continues to be a good steward of this business. It's like those opportunities are out there. And the best part is he brought in investors, so he didn't even cover the down payment himself. Right. Wow. So, and that can happen in community, right?
And absolutely.
So I went on a tangent there, but like,
when it comes
to the kids, it's for me and my family, they've been homeschooled pretty much the entire way through. So Quinn, Owen, and Mason, they went on road trips to me to West Virginia. They got to see business in action. Mm. They got to, you know, hear my 8 hours of being on the phone while we were driving. You know, it was annoying at the time. But when it came time to being in business, that's not intimidating to them, right?
Yes, because they've heard their entire lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And our boys, our two oldest boys, Mason and Owen, their dream is to own a theater house. And to own a theater house, they are going to need capital. Well, the best way for them to make capital and compress time on that is by owning a business and working their face off for a good 3 or 4 years and, you know, not go out and party and just literally just work and invest the money that they make. And then they're going to be in a position to be able to do that because that's their dream. They love theater and they want a space where people can come in and do theater in new and unique ways.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great dream. So since we're talking about money and everything, I love that you touched earlier how your wife, Callie, inspired you guys to not only get closer to God, but tithing.
Yeah.
I am a huge believer in tithing. It's changed my life. I mean, we were in debt 1 year and I challenged God because, you know, the Bible tells us not to challenge God. But in this one place, he does say, you can test me on this one.
Right.
And I did. I said, God, if you're wanting me to tithe, you have to get me out of that.
Yep.
And the amount that we had debt in this year, the following year, we gave away the same amount.
Let's go.
So incredible. And I'm a huge advocate. And I know that that's a very unpopular opinion because a lot of people have their feelings about.
Yep.
I kind of wanted to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, so our tithing story was, once again, Kelly was leading the charge. Like, we needed, I was like, where's this money going to come from? But we literally, the first month that we tithed, right, my business, it was 6 or 7 months into me being business partners with Mitch. And we tithed, and like a couple of weeks later, I get a phone call from Mitch saying, hey, we got our taxes adjusted as a business from the year before, and there's extra money, so I'm going to give you $3,500 of it, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever the amount was. And I was like, but I wasn't even a partner during that time. He's like, I know, it just, I feel like it's the fair thing to do, right?
Oh my
God. And it was just like, God was just like, yeah, like, I got you, bro, ha.
Yeah.
So yeah, I believe that there's strong evidence biblically in the tithe. I also Indeed. Think that if you are struggling with the biblical backing of the tithe, mm-hmm. Look at your church and get a really good understanding of the stewardship of the finances mm-hmm. of your church. Because that's the other way that I look at it, right?
Like yes.
Our season that we were at iTown, I knew that when there was a hurricane would happen,
they would be there.
They were giving that next day.
Yes.
And it was coming out of the stuff that we were already giving. So I trust, and the church, you know, Antioch, where we go now, you know, mm-hmm. I gladly tithe there, right? Because
yes.
I trust them as stewards of the money that I'm giving. I don't need biblical backing for that. Obviously, mm-hmm. I do have biblical backing for
yes.
that. So I think that's another important piece of
I
it
agree.
As well.
Yeah,
so.
God doesn't want us to just be blind and like
yeah.
he wants a cheerful giver, but we also need to know where it's
right.
going and
Absolutely.
Whether leadership is,
yeah.
is good for that.
Absolutely.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about how mentoring and coaching business
yeah.
owners and people in general,
right.
Why is that important?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think like I have a passion about like two different people group when it comes to that. It's the existing successful business owner
mm-hmm.
who's a Christian and being able to just light a fire under them, right? Help them understand that they're called for more than just owning a business and giving to their church,
mm.
right? I was challenged by listening to a podcast one time where one of the the president of the board of one of the Coca-Cola bottling companies was in a time of prayer, and the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful steward with your family, but when are you going to start stewarding all these employees that I've gave to you?
Wow.
And when I heard that, I was like, ugh. And
yeah.
and it was a realization. And for you, like we talked about
Absolutely.
Before this, like that's part of the what's on your heart about doing this podcast,
mm-hmm.
right? And the
yeah.
legacy of this podcast, right? So the people as a business owner, the people that you are either your clients or your employees,
mm-hmm.
I could view it as it's partially your responsibility to be a kingdom leader to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You should not turn a blind eye towards them,
yeah.
just like you wouldn't turn a blind eye towards your children, right?
Yeah.
The other audience that I love engaging in is it's the young entrepreneur that's already on fire for Jesus.
Yes.
And it's like, how can I help you to grow this thing into a bad boy or girl business?
Yes.
One of my favorite people, and Heather adores her as well, is Ashley Rumke. I adore Ashley and feel like that more people need to be exposed to Ashley. And I also think that Ashley's call to own business and multiple businesses and be an inspiration for young women.
Wow.
So anything I could do to help her, I'm down. And we've helped her with some stuff, but also like, I know that she's family, like, you know, so it's reciprocated in that way. Her husband, Dan, has been a mentor to my boys for years. So we mm-hmm. just absolutely, so that's like at the end of the day, the coaching and the mentorship, it's really discipleship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, just bringing Jesus into every relationship, every conversation, and, you know, as a business owner as well.
Yes. So that kind of answers that. What would you say to business leaders struggling to use their influence
yeah.
to share the gospel?
Yeah. It's funny because like I had a great conversation with my pastor, Andrew Zanocco, about it, where because I get people that reach out to me. It's like, how do I operate my business as a kingdom business? It's like, well, how do you operate as being a kingdom husband? How do you operate as being a kingdom father? Like, be like, you know,
yes.
do what the Bible tells you to do, right?
Yes.
Read your Bible daily. Like, you know, you have, I'm going to make some noise here.
Yeah.
This is my favorite book. This is Ultimate Life Hack. If you want wisdom, go to the Ultimate Book of Wisdom. Like, you know, so it's like, as a business leader, right? Like there's 31 books in the book of Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
At the most, there's 31 days in the month. So if you're ever stuck where you want to be in the Bible, today's the 6th, go read Proverbs 6. It's the 20th, go read Proverbs 20, right? So like leading in that way, right? It's
yeah.
no different, right? It's not
yes.
that it's like, oh, here's the 7 steps to being a kingdom business owner, right? No, it's like be a kingdom man or woman in your business and lead with integrity and, you know, share the gospel with people,
yeah.
right? So,
yeah.
yeah.
I love that. So there's a big guy, he does a podcast in Brazil and he's a big financial guy and he was not a man of faith just because he's very science and this and that. But he met a pastor who told him about the book of Proverbs. And he's like, this is the best business book in the Bible.
Yes.
So the teachings in here are full of wisdom and everything. And you can apply in every situation in your business. So for the skeptical people, or if your husband is a skeptical, but he loves business and everything, maybe try the book of Proverbs. Absolutely. I love that you mentioned that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is. It's a great one too. For business people to start with.
Absolutely.
What does honoring God in your work mean to you?
Whether it's in the Bible or not, the work of our hands is worship to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that. So I believe, you know, and the Bible talks about do your work as if you are doing it unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right. So I believe that we are commanded to honor God through our work, right?
Yes.
Number one, how I do that is I have what I call my order, and my order is, and I pray this, I try to do it every day. I did it today on my walk.
Yeah.
Sovereign Lord, remember me, strengthen me one more time to be the man you called me to be. So that's my relationship with God, the man that he's called me to be. And then I say to be the husband that you called me to be. So that's number two, my relationship with Kelly, to be the father that you called me to be. So be the father of Mason, Owen, Quinn, and Augie, and then to be the leader that you called me to be. So that helps me keep my priorities in check, because if I do that daily, typically the Holy Spirit will check me when I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
like I'm not giving the time to Kelly. I'm giving the business more time. I'm not giving time to God. I'm giving, you know, whatever else more time. So that goes back to the previous question where it's like, how do I honor God in my business? Mm-hmm. I honor God in my business by honoring God in everything that I do.
Yes.
Right? Because I am honored to be a man of God, and I carry that with me everywhere I go, right? Whether I'm you know, bowling, and I haven't gone bowling anymore, I said bowling. But whether I'm bowling, you know, or I'm in business or whatever I'm doing, right?
Yes.
And I love it so much. You know, we are proud Christians. My team on the Everbull side, the two guys that I work with, one is Mason McDonald, who was an executive pastor at a church and is just on fire for God. And the other is John Murray. John Murray is out in Chesapeake, Virginia, and he met his wife at a prayer conference, right? And everybody at Everbull, and Everbull's based out of California, everybody at Everbull knows that we're Christians, but they also know that we have integrity. We're not going to judge them. We're going to love them, right? And, you know, so it's that balance, right? And
I was going to ask you that next. Like, so when you're hiring people,
Are
you very upfront about, like, I'm a Christian man, this is important for me, these are my values, and what if they don't agree with the same?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever encountered anything like this? Or
Definitely have agreed with people that do not agree with what they think Christianity is.
Okay.
I believe that everybody would agree with the characters and the principles of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
The people that they have disagreed with what they thought we stood for, right? And but when once they actually give us the time and we build relationships with them,
you know,
that's not a it's not a stopping point for people. So because as you can imagine, you know, we're in franchising and we're kind of all over the country, so we come across people that don't have any type of relationship with Jesus. So
yes.
It's very common.
Yes, I bet. I mean, so being a busy man, what does your routine look like? Like, how do you make time to spend with God? And
that's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, number one, having people in my life that are going to help me do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Be accountable.
If I can carve out, my goal is to carve out time in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I like to walk with Jesus, I say. Mm-hmm. So I get up in the morning and I'll go walk and I'll just have a conversation with Jesus and I'll pray over my family and then whatever God puts on my heart. And then after that, I'll get the Bible out. I'll usually read whatever the daily proverb is and then whatever I'm reading in the Bible. I've been reading a lot of 1 Timothy right now. God has me rereading 1 Timothy 6. In that it talks about us investing time in the wealthy, and I consider that as business owners, to help them to understand that there's more to life than just being wealthy.
Yeah.
So like I've just kind of been chewing on that a lot. But anyways, so it's intentional time there, but honestly, it's intentional relationships, right? It's like, I'm very, I like to I like to tell people to be interruptible. So I'm very interruptible where I have my work schedule, because things just keep getting busier and busier with what we're doing with Edible, which is really exciting because that's what we're building towards. So I've got to protect my work schedule. So I have like usually Friday afternoons are kind of open for me. So I can schedule time with people.
Do stuff then, like this.
Yeah. Well, no, I consider this part of the work stuff, right? Because it's helping to spread the word of Everbull.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
As well. And it's getting me content to be able to share and repurpose and stuff like that. And then also like Wednesday mornings as well. That just is always kind of a sweet spot. Everbull's on California time. So, you know, I'm usually sitting around waiting on them to wake up before I can talk to them anyways. But if somebody's in need and they need prayer, they need somebody to talk to, like I'm interruptible and I'll drop whatever. I don't care if it's late at night. I don't care if it's early in the morning.
Oh, that's
right.
Great.
I feel the presence of the Lord the strongest when I'm in his word.
Yes.
This will tie into a little bit of our Everbull story as well. So yes. I was on a mission trip at the LA Dream Center.
Okay.
A bunch of business guys. We went out there to check out the LA Dream Center, go check out Skid Row.
Scary.
You know, yeah. Yeah, it was great. It really pushed a lot of us. But while we were there, we ran into a homeless guy named Cowboy, who had the Bible laid out in front of him.
Oh.
And we were like, "What are you reading?" And he was telling us what he was reading. And it was there. He was like, "Have you ever heard the song, Mr. Postman? Hey, hey, what do you have for me today, Mr. Postman? This is letters from your Father in heaven, whose son died for your sins so you can spend eternity with your Father in heaven. How dare you not go to that mailbox and read his letters every day?" Right?
Oh,
I got that on that mission trip. And then the other thing I got on the mission trip was I had my first acai bowl.
Oh.
And when I had the, and I did not want it. I wanted pizza. I wanted a burger or I wanted Chipotle.
Of course.
And there was a line out the doors and it was John Goo's fault that I couldn't get that. So we went and got an acai bowl and I was just blown away at how good it was. The first time I had one. And I was like, I got to bring this to Hamilton County. And it was there that God was like, this is the coffee shop you always wanted. Because I always thought I wanted a bar because I used to watch Cheers growing up. Then as I got older, I was like, I'm not dealing with that. So then I thought I wanted a coffee shop because you could tell by spending time. I love hanging out with people.
Yeah.
I just it's like you own a coffee shop. Like you get to like make
hang
money
out.
And you get to hang out with your favorite people. It's like, hey, you want to meet up? Come to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
So that was, Everbull was my version of a coffee shop. So that was God leaving the cookie crumbs of like, hey, I've got this for you. And it's just grown into just an unbelievable blessing. And through that, we've opened up our own stores. My partner and I have 4 stores that we own, about to be a 5th store. It's actually, we're in Indiana. We have Ole Miss, their campus, which has just been so fun.
That
we have
is
one in
incredible.
Montgomery, Alabama, and then we have one in Fort Hill, South Carolina. We like to open the stores to kind of seed the market with Everbull, and then somebody else will come in and buy it. And then they'll grow the market. So we kind of like to bring attention to it. So, but in our journey with Everbull, we got introduced to Drew Brees and some of his business partners. And I was guiding them against opening a store somewhere. And in that, Holy Spirit took over and was like, I literally said, hey, I think you guys should do this. And we could do it together. And I was like, I can't believe I just said that. Like, there's no way that they're going to want to do business with us. Like, I was almost embarrassed that I said it. And 2 weeks later, they called and they said, we're in. And I was like, what? And we've partnered with Drew Brees. We have one of the largest area rep agreements in the country for any franchise. So what an area rep does, you kind of sit in between a franchisee, which is the owner, the small owner, the owners of the stores, and the franchisor. And we help to grow Everbull. So we help find franchisees. We train them. We support them. And our journey is to bring 150 stores to 13 states, and we're at 30-ish stores open, and we've got 40 of them sold. So we're just continuing, and we've got another like 10 to 15 that are getting sold over the next 45 days. And it's been unbelievable. Drew is a man of God. Drew, I've spent a lot of times with a lot of different celebrities, and Drew has the most integrity, and not only the most integrity, he loves his family. He planned things out in a way where when he retired from the NFL, his kids were at that sweet spot where he could just spend so much time with them in the sport. So he's like, we had a call a couple of weeks ago and he's like, well, I got to go take the kids to school, or I've got to go to football practice. Right.
That's so wonderful.
Couple of his teams. When we made the final decision to do this, we prayed together. Drew and I took the time to pray together.
Okay.
So he's the real deal. And it's just such a joy. And not only is like he the real deal, he's wicked smart, right? To be to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, his mind just works at a different level than the normal person. Yeah. I always say, like, if he didn't go the NFL route, he probably would be some CEO of, like,
some multi-million dollar.
Yeah, yeah. But he loves franchising. He's involved in lots of different brands: Jimmy John's, Stretchstone, Smalls. He's with a new pickleball franchise called Pickler, and then Everbowl. And my goal, and my partner Mitch, our goal is that this is the best investment that he has, and that he wants to do more with us in the future. So, we're just having a lot of fun doing that with him and with his partners.
Tell us about, like, you talked a little bit about Everbowl. So yep. What other things are you involved Absolutely. In that you're super passionate about?
So we sold our Verizon, we owned Verizon stores for 10 years and we sold them 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And when we sold them, we honestly were not 100% sure of what we were going to do next. We knew we were going to do Everbowl. We did not know we were going to do it at the level that we're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
So we took that capital and we bought a lot of Airbnbs. There was tax strategies there to where we didn't have to pay capital gains. So that was kind of the first wave of what we were doing. So we do own Airbnbs. We also have a property management company that we manage other people's Airbnbs.
Oh.
We have a travel van. I think Heather used our travel van for a trip one time. Literally the only reason we got the travel van was, like, I got a big family and I'm like, I need room to take my family on vacations, but I want other people to pay for it. So we bought this travel van and we rent it out like 80% of the time.
Oh
right?
my gosh.
So that's kind of the core of what we do. As we were talking about a little bit, just a month ago, my son bought a business and he bought Indie Photo Fun from a local business owner named Chase Elliott. And I told Kelly, I was like, Kelly, I've done lots of different business ventures and we've grown within different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
When I take the time and partner with the Lord and I pray about it and I pray and seek wise counsel, it works. Or God tells me not to do it.
Yes.
Then there's these times where I didn't do that and it didn't work. I was like, so we are going to bathe this in prayer. And I asked her to go get prayed over at church the following day. And she goes, I really think we should do it, but I think we should talk to Owen about it, about buying it. And I was like, I actually feel the same way. So we grabbed Owen and we're like, Owen, we really want to do Indie Photo Fun. And we know you're willing to help, because he was looking for that next job or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he was super excited about it because Owen's passion is in lighting and technology.
Oh, wow.
And that's a lot of what, a lot of what you do with these photo booths. And we said, but we think you should buy the whole thing. I said, we'll help you find a loan. You have the money for a down payment. And Owen's eyes just lit up. And Owen's our quiet boy. He doesn't get excited very often. And he was through the roof excited. So Owen owns Indie Photo Fun. It's a digital photo booth business. So you've seen him at weddings. About 60-70% of his business comes from weddings.
Okay.
But when he bought the business, he was able to buy the domain, the name. And okay. Chase already had tons of business lined up and relationships. So Owen, that's the advantage of buying a business, right?
Yes.
He
has this
book
already.
Of business already
yes.
to help pay for the loan, that loan payments that he's going to have every month.
Yeah.
But what we need help with is wedding planners, event planners, or people that own event spaces.
Okay.
Please reach out to us. Owen is always going to come super professionally dressed. He's going to be there early and he's super flexible.
Your guys are up for supporting a Christian young man,
yes,
passionate
yes.
about his business.
Yes.
We are going to leave all of the links for all the businesses
awesome.
Down on the, if you're watching this
awesome.
On YouTube, it will be on the description box. If you are on the podcast, make sure that you pop on the blog because we'll leave
yes.
it all in there. But
love it.
Yeah. What a great way of supporting that
yeah.
this young man's journey.
Yeah, and we will meet face to face with you. We'll get you links for our Airbnbs. We have some really cool Airbnbs in the Smoky Mountains.
Oh,
we
wow.
have in Branson, Missouri. We have this beautiful river house in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then my favorite property is actually in Cashers, North Carolina. Cashers, North Carolina is like, it's like a little secret hidden place in North Carolina. It sits on a plateau 3,500 feet above sea level.
Uh-huh.
And it has these sister cities of Cashers and Highlands. And it is like some of the wealthiest living in the country. And there's this beautiful lake there. So we own a home that's on a river that's literally like embedded in a national forest. And you
wow.
walk out the front door, you got a 20-minute hike and you have a private waterfall that you can go to. So,
oh my gosh.
As we've bought and sold different vacation rentals, I've told my partners, I'm like, we are not selling this. We're keeping
yeah.
this thing forever. I love this place. I mean, the river's right in the backyard. So Yeah, so we've got lots of
fun. I want to go now, yeah, too. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah, if you need, like, inspiration to do writing and stuff like that, yes. it's a great place. It's a great place to go to. But, yeah, wow. And then the biggest, like, our biggest growth thing right now is we're always looking for franchise owners for Everbowl. So if anybody that'd be interested in owning their own Everbowl franchise or investing in people that are interested in owning their own Everbowl franchise, please hit me up. We're very low barrier of entry when it comes to franchising because we build a lot of the stuff in-house. Mm. And we have just an awesome, like, the benefit, like, the number one selling point of Everbowl is our family of franchise owners because we just have some unbelievable franchise owners. And I just love bringing people into that family of franchise ownership. And we get to, our goal is to bring Everbowl everywhere. You know, we're that healthier for you category. We're not, like, extreme healthy, mm-hmm. but we feel like we're competing against the Burger Kings and the McDonald's of the world, right? And we want to give people a healthy option. And, you know, we have typically a bunch of high school kids, so it's a little bit of a ministry opportunity. We have a lot of kids from Young Life and Crew working for us and Youth for Christ and stuff.
Well, Zach works for you. And he's Antonio's, like, best friend nowadays. And he has been such a joy to, like, really minister to Antonio. And Antonio has an entrepreneurial thing in him, which I definitely want you to meet him. He wanted to start a company making Christian t-shirts.
Nice.
And he bought all the equipment and it never went anywhere. So all the equipment is there.
Yes.
Mom and dad invested, you know, so the stuff is there getting dust on.
Well, let's get together. I'll get a fire.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then we're going to have some merch here, you guys, pretty soon. Gosh, I love this. Alex, is there anything else that we left out that you feel like we need to touch base on?
I don't think so. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm super excited for you.
Thank you.
And I truly believe that this is beyond just a podcast. I believe it's a ministry and, Praise God. That I think that you have a very unique audience and you're going to like open up a lot of people's eyes to Jesus and your relationship with Jesus and your walk with Jesus.
I sure hope so. I mean, this is our mission here, right? Yeah. As Christians is to bring the gospel to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for coming. And would you like to close us in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be honored to. Lord, thank you for this relationship and this connection. And Lord, I just pray over all of the audience that is listening that you would just touch them. Lord, that you would visit them in dreams. You would be with them in a conversation and just make yourself known, whether it's through reading your word. But Lord, I just pray for a powerful encounter for the audience that they would just truly feel your love. And Lord, I pray for this podcast that you would you would bless it, you would grow it, you would give this podcast opportunities for influence, to do your kingdom work, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done. Amen. It's in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Carina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.